Good morning and Merry Christmas. I wish I had that guy's moves. I have never been coordinated like that in my life. I've watched that every week and thought, wow. This is the first time in my memory that I have gotten to preach on Christmas Day on a Sunday. And I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for watching online. We've been talking about arrivals, and I want to kind of try and wrap that up today. And I thought about simply going through the Gospels and talking about the what we call the Christmas story, but I have no idea how that could have been done better than we participated in yesterday. And with no disrespect to David or Micah, Emily was wonderful. She just really was with what she did. If you have a Bible, if you're not, maybe they're passing some out. We're going to have a variety of different scriptures to look at today. But in thinking about the Christmas story and Jesus coming into this world, the song that we just sang, Light of this world, you stepped out in down into darkness. Open my eyes so I could see. That's kind of the theme that I'd like to develop with you in our thinking today. And so we'll begin this morning with Genesis. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1. And this star of God, this light of God, this became human existence in the baby Jesus, is God's most full revelation of what it means to live in the light, to walk in His light. There is a battle in our world between light and darkness. And it's not about black and white, it's about truth and falsehood. The very first lie that we find, or the very first thing that contradicts God in the scripture, is a lie. And that lie is when Satan says, and Chip's paraphrase, you can be your own God. And that lie still permeates all of us in some way, in all cultures, all the way around the world. That lie is alive and well in our world. But in Genesis 1, beginning at verse 1, God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we kind of read over this, or I have at least in my lifetime, read over, okay, God's the creator, let's get on to the rest of the story. As we think about arrivals, as we talked about this theme of God having a plan, and whether we are more spontaneous or more organized in our travel plans and those kinds of things, if we talk about an arrival, it necessarily implies there was a departure. There's a beginning point for the journey that we are on. This is the beginning point of everything. And if we stop and if we can wrap our minds around this idea that God in the beginning is God, before there's anything else, there is God. Satan's lie says, you can be your own God. But the reality is, as human beings, we are in reaction mode. We do not initiate, God initiates. God is God. He begins things, and we respond to them. One of the examples from the Old Testament. Joshua has taken over for Moses. He's led the people in. They have conquered a major portion of the land of Canaan. And now he's old and he's going to die. And so he calls the leaders and the people together and he says, remember everything God did. He doesn't say, remember how great Moses was. Remember what a wonderful job Aaron did. He says, remember what God did. Because God is the one in charge. God's the one that started this. God is the one that has initiated this. And he reviews their history of God's blessings and salvations. And then what does he say? Choose this day whom you will serve. We react to whatever God does. And as we live with God, as we live before God, as we live in this world, and we react to the reality that God is, God created. Everything we see about us, all these things that we're celebrating, are here because God created. It's not because we've earned it. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we're at a different level than the rest of creation. The only part of creation made in God's image, you and I. But it's because God acted. And God said, let there be light. In all the darkness of the primordial mass of elements, God said, light. And it was so. Oftentimes in the human story, darkness seems to be winning. We get over to about Genesis 8, and darkness seems to be winning, and God says, I'm sorry I ever started all this. But Noah and his family, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so there's 40 days after 100 years of building an ark, there's 40 days of nothing but rain and darkness and flood. And then what did God do? He said, let there be a light in the heavens that says, I won't ever do this again, and I still love you. Abraham comes into the world. We talked about him and Isaac and Sarah the first week of arrivals. And he has his ups and downs. And then his descendants go through 70 years of captivity after centuries of vacillating between God and being their own God. And God's promise of light is given through Isaiah 9, but it's quoted in Matthew chapter 4. If you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 4. And beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the sea in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. God's timing is always perfect. God knows exactly what he's doing. As David talked about the first week, he is the ultimate planner. And he brought Jesus into this world in the time of the Roman Empire. A time of tremendous darkness. But where the Roman government had built roads throughout the known world, and they lived under what they called the Pax, P-A-X, Pax Romana. The peace of Rome. There was no peace of Rome. The peace that Rome imposed was with a sword and with a cross. It was a peace of persecution. This morning, Kathy and I had the privilege to be on an application where we can video chat with a friend in China. And Philip was sharing with us the celebration that the oppression that was brought on the people of China by their government has been lifted. Now, not all of it, but the part about the COVID. And what brought about the change? Philip said it's a miracle. It happened overnight. It happened overnight because in one of their cities, there was an apartment fire. And the police would not let anybody in or out of the building because it was under quarantine. And multiple people, including about 12 children, died in the fire. That kind of peace was a Roman peace. and the people took to the streets, and overnight the restriction was removed. The time of the Roman Empire was the time of everybody under one rule, one government, and Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem because the government said, you will show up, you will sign in for the census, and you will pay your taxes. And God said, perfect timing. Perfect timing. Not our timing. Wouldn't be what I would have thought of. You travel to Bethlehem, and then probably 2 years later, these three men or four men, however many, we don't know, three gifts. These guys, not wise guys, wise men, come from the east, following what? A light, a star. And how did they know what to look for? Definitively, I can't answer that question. But I do know that one of the Old Testament prophets, through one of them, God said, my word goes out into the world and does not return to me empty. Wherever God's light, God's truth, penetrates the darkness of people's hearts, good things happen. Doesn't matter what language, doesn't matter what culture, doesn't matter what color. Where God's light shines into our heart, we become better. And so these individuals come from the east following this star to Bethlehem. They find the true light of the world. If you have your Bible, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John ties, the Apostle John ties the birth of Jesus with the creation of the world. And God's plan is continuing. This great journey of humanity from Adam and Eve in the garden up to this point and beyond us even today. What does he say? The light shines in the darkness. But the darkness doesn't get the message. Why not? How come when those men came from the east, those wise men, and they came to Jerusalem first, as Micah talked about, and they meet with the king, and they meet with the religious leaders, the heads of the Jewish nation, why didn't those people from the spiritual leaders, why didn't they get it? John will give us the answer in just a minute. Continue our reading for a minute, verses 6 through 9. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. That leadership did not understand, did not see who Jesus was because they had already rejected the testimony of the witness. They looked at John the Baptizer and they said, "We're the ones that know everything and you're just an outcast. You're out there with all those others." And they were blinded to the light that God was bringing into the world. They did give the right answer. Oh, the king of the Jews, he'll be born over there in Bethlehem at some point. Men love darkness because our deeds are evil. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Now, the first verse of this reading, beginning verse 16, we all have memorized. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we all say, amen. Amen. That's beautiful. But it's not the rest of the story. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. It breaks my heart to think about how much I love darkness. We love darkness. Our world loves darkness. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And that I am statement is really important. He didn't say, I am a light of the world. I am another light in the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And the I am part goes all the way back to Moses, when God calls him to go and deliver his people from Egypt. And he says, well, who should I say sent me? And God says, tell them, I am sent you. Why? Because I am, before creation, after creation, the God forever and ever is who he is. And Jesus identifies. He says, I am. In another passage, he'll say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, the most believable lie has a measure of truth buried in it somewhere. We live in an age where even within the church, people will say, well, I believe in Jesus, but he's just one path up the mountain to God. As though God is a location. And they'll say, Buddha is just as good, and Muhammad is just as good, and whoever else you want to name is just as good as Jesus, if that's what you feel. God said, this is my only one and only Son, listen to him. I am the light of the world. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 22 to 24 in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, we humans have a problem. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if that light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Yesterday in our Christmas Eve services, near the end of it, We had a candle up here. We all lit our candle and took it around. And, you know, even though all this was out, the room filled with light. Darkness cannot stop light. But if we are dark on the inside, and we want to pick and choose where God can be God and where I want to be my own God, we pull the shades down and we stop the light. And how dark is our life when we do that? We live in another time, I believe, of empire. It's not the Roman Empire, but it's an empire of political corruption and moral corruption, corporate corruption, hyper-individualism. And so often we believe Satan's original lie. God didn't mean what he said. You can be your own God. But in all of that, Jesus is still the way, the truth, the life, and the light of the world. Jesus is still the only answer to the human condition. And in John 1, twice, John says, Jesus came into this world full of grace and truth. And I'm so thankful for both. Because I can't hear the truth without first experiencing God's grace. You know, John 3:16 I probably had memorized before I ever started grade school. And I loved it that God loved the whole world. But my question was, does that mean me too? What about me? Because I know who I am in here. I cannot be my own God and survive. When I finally, as an adult, began to get a grasp that God's grace means me, his truth lit up my life. Before that, I went to church, I took communion, I did all the nice things you're supposed to do, the right things that we want to do and need to do, but it took grace to transform and truth to bring it to life. The greatest command says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And implied in that is if I love God with everything I am, I hate the darkness, even when it's my personal, inside my head, darkness. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, John writes, the Holy Spirit writes with John's pen, he says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive all unrighteousness. What does that mean? That means that I do not have to come up here in front of you and pretend to be perfect. I'm not. It means when we're burdened down with cares and worries and frustrations of this life, we have one another to work with. We walk together. And God is faithful and just. Here's our takeaways. There is a battle between light and darkness. And it's not just out there in the world, it's in every one of our lives. Point two, it's easy to see the darkness in the world around us. But number three, it's harder to recognize our own darkness because it's been a part of us for so long. And sometimes we use that great human capability called rationalization and say, yeah, but my darkness isn't as dark as your darkness. Number four, the light Jesus, the light of the world, come into the world, born in Bethlehem of a virgin, that we commemorate today. That light changes and conquers everything. Everything. So, the questions. Do you see the light? Do you want the light? Are you walking in the light? Now, I have good news. There's another arrival. There's another arrival. Jesus has promised he will return. And when he does, all of this is transformed and darkness is dispelled. According to Revelation 22, verse 5, in that setting, we don't need the sun, we don't need any of this. The true light that came into the world will light up everything for everyone. Now, some of us, when we travel, we enjoy the destination. Some of us, when we travel, we enjoy the process of getting there. And some of us like both. I'm one of those weird people. I like both. I have never been bored driving for 8 hours watching the terrain that we go by. And as we go through this life, we're here in December 25th, 20, what year is it, Micah? 2022. And we're on a journey. And if you've reached a point of faith and committed your life to Jesus Christ, and on the basis of that faith been immersed in water and raised as a new creation, you've arrived at this point in your journey. And now the journey continues till Jesus comes again. And that journey is more glorious than the one that brought us to this point. It's more joy-filled. It is hope-filled. It is light all around us. We can see where we're going because God always keeps his word. And God created the heavens and the earth, and God said through Jesus, I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you can be also. And as Christians, that's where we live, on that journey, knowing that God is ready for every one of us. And in the interim, we travel under his banner. We travel in his name. We travel in his light. Let's pray together. Father God, I am in awe. We are in awe of your majesty, of your power, of your planning, of your creating of the destinations, and of your creating the process of journey. And Father, in our own lives where we find darkness sometimes seems to be winning, we know that we can return home every time, and you'll be waiting with open arms. And you'll continue to pour your light into our lives, and you will make us into who you intend us to be. And Father, in that process of being recreated in your image, we are so thankful that your Son has given us the example, the process. He's shown us what love really looks like. And where Pilate asked, what is truth? And the religious leader asked, who is my neighbor? Father, sometimes I hear the question, what is love? And it is love that we see in the manger in Bethlehem, and it's love that we see at the cross, and it's love that we see in the years in between that shows us who you really are. Father, we as followers, as disciples of Jesus, we're blessed above all peoples on the earth, and we bow down and we worship you and we say thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your planning. Thank you for the baby whose birth we celebrate today. And we thank you in Jesus' name.